Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
As I think about today and the message that I wanted to share today, the power of a praying woman or person, this song just kept coming to my mind, and it's Alicia Keys, I Am Superwoman. And y'all know that song. A lot of you know that song. I still love that song. Yes, she can. Not because we wear a cape with an S on our chest, unless that S is Savior, or because we're all strong and powerful on our own, but because we as women of God can find our strength in God and be super women for God. I just love that song. You know, I believe we are. You women out there, what you face every day, the daily accomplishments that you face every day, like being a teacher, a chauffeur, an event planner, a chef, a conflict resolver, a nurse, a counselor, a financial manager, an activities planner, all in one day. You, my ladies, are a superwoman. I was blessed to be raised by a superwoman who tapped into God's superpower in her 70s and became a Christian before she went home to the Lord, and so did my dad in his 60s. I'm going to tell you a story. Cleaning through my mom's closet after she passed, I was looking through some paperwork, legal paperwork, and I was reading through it, and I read, I am the adopted daughter of Hortense Oakley. And I had to stop and go, like what? Because I never knew that my mom was adopted. Mom never shared that. She was so grateful for the love of Miss Oakley. This woman had taken her in. You know, she was legally blind. She had a lot of other disabilities. And this woman gave her piano lessons and loved her like nobody's business. So to my mom, that was everything. My mom's mom legacy came through a neighbor, through a stranger. That inspired me so, but it also left me with a lot of questions like, wait a minute, if that wasn't really my grandmother, who was my grandmother? Who am I? Where's the rest of my family? You know, I had to decide that, you know, my natural legacy is not everything. It's not just about the family I've been a part of. It's about the family I get to be a part of. And folks, whatever your background is, you are not limited to what you have known, what you have seen, what you have experienced. You have an unlimited legacy and inheritance in God's family. And I wanted to say that to you today because I do know that this day brings a lot of mix of emotions and thoughts. And I pray that as we listen to this lesson, that we'll learn a lot about how to think about some of it. Have you ever experienced a praying mom? Y'all, have you ever experienced a praying person? Chances are that you are here today because of somebody's prayers. You are somebody's spiritual legacy. But if you saw War Room and you remember Clara, Sister Clara Williams, and how she prayed, when she prayed, you felt it in your sha-na-na, like you felt that prayer. And that kind of prayer is what I'm talking about when we tap into the unlimited power and resources of God. So I thought I'd share about one of my sheroes in the Bible, a superwoman to me. Her name is Hannah, and many of you know her and you've read about her, but she was a woman just like us, and she was human. And I like to look at some of her character because sometimes we build these biblical characters up and they're bigger than life and they do these amazing things and we wonder how when they were just human like us. So I just want to look at her some and learn about the power of a praying woman to overcome problems, to tap into God's power, and to keep our promises to God. So let's look and start in 1 Samuel 1. We're going to do some reading here because there's nothing like the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 1, we meet her husband Elkanah. And verse 2, we learn that he has two wives, okay? One called Hannah, her name means grace, and one called Peninnah, her name means jewel. Peninnah had children, Hannah had none. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. Can anybody see a problem here? Can you tell this is going to be a hot mess? One man, two wives. Okay, while polygamy was a thing in the ancient culture, it was never seen in a favorable light because of the strife and the conflict that always comes with polygamous families in the Bible. So Elkanah, you know, he was a spiritual man. He was a great man. He made a bad decision. Probably when Hannah, who was his first wife, could not conceive, he took on a second wife, okay? How many of you know that our bad decisions are our decisions, and sometimes they cause us big problems, and we can't blame nobody for that? Okay, so let's go on. In verse 3, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. Shiloh was a place of rest, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. And they were a hot mess, by the way. Whenever the day came after Elkanah came to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife, Peninnah, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. So we're going to see that this double theme runs through this whole scripture. He did this because he loved her and because the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Got some problems here. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Okay. Once when he had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Anna prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving and her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine, woman. Not so, Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Can you see why Hannah is why I call her a superwoman. She is one to me. And I wish I could go verse by verse with this passage of scripture because there's so much in there that's just so much we can learn from, but we don't have time for that today. But I just want to point some things out. Problems are a part of life. How many of y'all know that? They are a part of life. Life is not easy. Godly people are not immune to trouble. Elkanah was leading his family to worship over 20 miles three times a year. He was a good guy. This was a spiritual family. Give them their props. Reminds me of some of our families that we have in our church. So proud of you, families that worship together. You know, that's the best Mother's Day gift ever, is for a husband to step up and set an example in the family, for the family to worship together. You want to give your mom a gift? Give her the gift of striving to love God, striving to serve God together. But, and I want to say this too, if you got a boyfriend or a husband, if you got a boo or a man who is striving to do the right thing, you better be supporting him and encouraging him and following him. That would be a wise thing to do, sisters. But how many of y'all know about family problems? Anybody have a perfect family? Not over here. Families are not perfect. They're not the Brady Bunch or the Cosbys. We know that. How many of us have personal problems? You know, we got family problems and we got personal problems. On top of that, Hannah, no, that was rough stuff going on. And then she had a very deep personal problem. Peninnah had 10 children. And Hannah had none. She was barren, childless. You know, that word just means lacking something. This was her biggest problem, and it was the biggest problem ever in her culture, because this problem meant that she could not provide an heir for her husband. She was socially looked down on, disturbed, socially disgraced, emotionally depressed, couldn't eat year after year. I want to pause here for a second, because I know that we have some women here that are listening to this today that you might be in the same position. You know, infertility is painful. You may be struggling with that, or you may have struggled with that. And I want to say that, you know, we're here for you. Even though this is not looked at as a curse in this culture, you're not looked down on, we want you to know that we know you're in pain and that we want to be here for you. We want to come alongside you. We want to support you, not just say we're praying for you, but really be there with you and know that we can wrap our arms around you and help you feel God's love at this time. You know, I just think that a lot of us can relate to Hannah right here, lacking something. Also, this story is so encouraging to me because it shows us that God cares about our desires. He cared about her desire to have a child. He was listening to her, and he did have a plan. But have you ever felt misunderstood, y'all? Have you ever felt that folks just don't get you? They just don't understand. Like even Hannah's husband, who was great, who was, I give him the props for even noticing how distraught she was, right? Asked her those questions, "What's wrong, baby?" And then he asked that question, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Okay, open mouth, insert foot. That was the wrong thing to say. He didn't get it. He didn't understand it. Eli didn't understand it, thought she was drunk. But you know what? I really believe there are some problems that we are not meant to understand on this side of heaven. There are some things nobody will understand, only God. And that's on purpose. That's on God's purpose. And so she's in this situation, and you may be as well, where you just feel like nobody understands me. It's a spiritual battle that Mike was talking about last week. And a lot of it goes on in our mind. Can you imagine some of those thoughts that she would have had? Thoughts like, "What's wrong with me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? This is a tragedy. You know, why don't you love me? Why aren't you listening? Why are folks looking down on me? I feel so alone. Will I ever be happy? What about my future? I'm so depressed." And I want to say this to you as well. Godly people get depressed. There is depression in spiritual families. It's okay to say, "I feel depressed." Have you ever felt that? On top of it, Hannah had a Peninnah. She had a rival. She had a provoker. How many of us can relate to that? And she had that for 10 years. Can you imagine year after year having this woman by your side saying her little comments like, "Oh, I'm so tired running around after my kids. Oops, sorry. You don't understand." Like, just mean. You know, women, we can be really mean. We call it spicy, but we can be like petty, right? She had petty Peninnah. And before we go ham on her, that sister, who was kind of, you know, she was a mess. Peninnah had her own issues, y'all. She was the less loved wife. Okay? The husband chose Hannah. He loved, remember, he slipped her double portions of the food because he loved her, right? So Peninnah was so mad, she wanted what Hannah had. And so she took it out on Hannah. Do you have that person that just triggers you? That situation that just gets on your nerves, that person that is so mean and harsh. Can you imagine what it was like to live under one roof with these folks? Okay. I want to say this, y'all. Godly families, godly people have a time of barrenness. You have a time of lacking something you desire, lacking something in your business, in your relationships, in your purpose, in your church, in your kids, in your health. You have a time where you're missing something and you have to, you're driven to your knees to get it from God. God is leading you to need Him more. A lot of times it's not because we've done something wrong. It's because God is doing something right. And He's leading us to Him. Notice verses 5 and 6. It was the Lord that closed Hannah's womb. Okay? It was the Lord. I'm not saying that in every case it's the Lord that closes. I'm not saying that in every case it's the Lord that closes your doors. I'm just saying that we blame Satan a lot. Last week we talked about that. Satan did it. Satan's evil. A lot of times when maybe it's God. God says He allows good and bad things to come into our lives. Ecclesiastes 7. When times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other. Don't get mad at me, y'all. God has made them both. And why does God allow hardship and problems to come our way? So I don't have a deep theological answer for you on that. We got plenty of people in the room that can give you that. But my experience is that God is interested in something a lot deeper than our happiness all the time. He's interested in something a lot more long-lasting. He's interested in our eternity. And so He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Y'all can finish it. Because you know that the testing of your faith, I'm preaching this to myself, develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Remember what I said barrenness was? Lacking something? God says perseverance will help you to not lack anything, to not be barren. God has a deeper purpose in our problems. You know, problems that we can't solve are a part of life. They are not the reason to take your life. I know that was deep. They're a part of life. We all have them. And I've just begun to look at it like sometimes they come in seasons. It's the season of loss, the season of fruitfulness, the season of family in my life, family turmoil, the season of marital refinement. It's not, it comes as seasons. Superwomen overcome these challenges only in one way. Only in one way. And we see it in Hannah. By tapping into the superhuman power, by being weak and acknowledging and experiencing the presence of God and inviting His presence, His very presence, into our life and into our situation and into our circumstances. We seek His presence and release His power all over that thing. I believe that that's the definition of prayer. And that's what Hannah did. She was the first woman, according to my recollection, that we actually see pouring her heart out to God in the Bible. Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel had similar situations, but they responded differently. Okay. I just think Hannah had had enough. It says the bitterness, she had bitterness and anguish of soul, and she poured it out to the Lord. And thank God she did, because bitterness inside of you that doesn't get poured out is a poison. It's like acid that eats away at you. And so she pours it out to the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. That's what that means. The one who is the Lord of all the armies of heaven. So she's calling on all the armies of heaven to come down and act in her situation. It's not a big, eloquent, showy prayer. It's a bold and simple and real and vulnerable prayer. And her legacy is planted in the power of the Lord Almighty. It's watered in her tears. It's nourished by her faith. She is a great example for us. You know, she was broken, but her brokenness did not break her. Did you get that? She came desperate, but she did not leave in doubt and discouragement and despair. She left with leaving it to the Lord, vulnerable to weep before God, persistent enough to, verse 12, keep praying, keep asking. Over and over in the Bible, We see men and women just like you and me. They had challenges and problems in life, and they prayed, God heard, God responded. The God Almighty, the Lord of the armies, the heavenly armies, prays and responds. But very often, it seems like the answer is yes. You know, we have a dear member, her name is Stacy, her husband is Moreno, and they're very familiar with that prayer. Last Labor Day weekend, Stacy thought her youngest son, Jalen, was injured riding his skateboard and simply pulled a hamstring. After a three-hour MRI at Choa Eggleston, the one that we would take, the hospital we would all take our kids to, Jalen was diagnosed with an arteriovenous malformation, AVM, of his spine. Basically, a cluster of abnormal blood vessels intertwined themselves in and around his spinal cord, and three blood vessels ruptured, causing partial paralysis of his legs. Okay, mamas? You feeling me? What you thought was a simple injury turns out to be this. During this time, the only thing Stacy could do and was confident in was her prayer. She understood she needed to fall on her knees multiple times a day. She prayed with Jalen. She prayed over Jalen. She struggled a little with the guilt of like not praying so hard in other moments as she had prayed in this moment. Confessed that to God. Asked God for forgiveness. She knew God was hearing her prayers. She asked her best friends to pray. And she said her best friends were praying, and her family group was praying, and her school's prayer group was praying, and the chaplain at the hospital was praying. And all these praying people gave her the confidence that God would place his hands on Jalen, and no matter what the result, take care of Jalen in a way that she knew she couldn't do. Turns out the surgery was a huge success. The neurosurgeon team completely removed the malformation from Jalen's spine. He regained some feeling in both of his legs. And after leaving the Shepherd Center, he was able in 6 weeks to walk out of there with a cane. Jalen was able to return to school immediately 2 weeks after. He returned home. He no longer needs his cane. Just recently, he was discharged from all physical therapy. Jalen is about to walk across the stage for his graduation in about a week. All of us love happy endings. We love those faith-building stories, and we get fired up as to what we saw God do. But you know, the glory is in the entire story, no matter how the story ends. And I'm so excited for Jalen, but I'm so excited about all the ways that God was working in that story and answering Mama's prayers. What do we do when God seems to say no? Many of you know Brunia Chisholm. She shares that she remembers the joy in her heart when she removed the third bead from her safety pin that I had given her about, 1 year. And each bead represented an unanswered prayer, and her third child had finally gotten baptized. What more could a mother ask for after witnessing all three of her children make Jesus Lord? A few years later, the joy disappeared when she realized that two out of her three children were slipping away from the Lord and forgetting their vows that they had made. But during her prayer is when she realized that although she felt like, God, this is not the way it's supposed to be, the Spirit reminded her of scriptures like train a child in the way they should go. Doesn't promise that they're going to remember this right now, but that the seed is planted, and she took confidence in that. That God reminded her that praying and not giving up is what she's called to do. Have you ever heard of push, pray until something happens? That's what my dear friend Brunia is doing when it seems like God is saying no. And she's such a spiritual war hero to me. She's a superhero to me. What about when God says, not yet? Have you ever felt like God is saying, not yet? Oh my goodness, how long was Hannah waiting? Not yet, not yet. Sometimes that's even harder than the no or the yet. It's a not yet, God, because of our patience. Adrian and Thomas learned this lesson. You know, between 2021 and 22, while it was a rough time for many of us, This family navigated a tumor on their family dog, Oreo's pancreas, which was just devastating to their family because they loved this dog so much, ultimately leading to his passing. As well as that, both daughters were consistently sick. If you all remember that, they were consistently sick, the oldest daughter with asthma being uncontrolled, even though they went to numerous pediatric specialists and nobody had the answer. They were waiting at least 8 months for this answer. While waiting, they just prayed. They prayed with their small group, being open and vulnerable, sharing their story, praying with their village. Through this very challenging season, they eventually finally got answers, and their girls needed to have 2 surgeries. Adrienne says this Psalm 46:10 is what she learned. Be still. She learned to be still. She learned to wait on God. She learned to not try to control things. She learned that God is always working in our waiting. Wow. What about when God says not yet? So over the course of time, as we wrap this up, Hannah did get pregnant. She gave birth to Samuel. His name means because I asked the Lord for him. You know, my son's middle name is Samuel, because I asked the Lord for him. She made a vow to the Lord that when he was 3 years old, she would dedicate him. She would bring him to Eli, to the temple. She would bring him to Eli to raise him. And she kept her promise. And that was pretty intense to me, because what mom wants to give their child up at 3 years old for somebody else to raise, and somebody who's not even doing a good job with their sons, right? But again, she trusted the Lord. She goes on to say, and it's penned, a powerful prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, which displays her faith and her trust and her courage that comes from God. Hannah goes on to have 7 more children. Samuel grows up to be a great man of God, greatly impacted by his mother. He's one of the most significant individuals in God's redemptive story. He is the final judge and prophet who anoints the first 2 kings of Israel. His life through the first and second books of Samuel of the Bible is dominated by prayer, which he learned from his mother, Hannah. Talk about better than expected. All this is what makes her a superwoman in my eyes. And to conclude, the way that we handle what life brings our way, that we tap into the almighty power of God, that we keep our promises to God and to one another, impacts generations to come and makes you God's superwoman in my eyes. Let us pray for communion. Father God, God, yes, you are Lord Almighty. You are the God of the hosts of heaven. And we're so grateful that you come to be with us, especially during this time as we are remembering you. And we're thanking you for the body and blood of Jesus. We're so grateful for the sacrifice that you have made so that we can have this relationship with you. We can tap into your power. We can experience your greatness, God. Thank you so much for this day, for the way that you love us, the way that you will use this message to strengthen us, God. And thank you so much, most of all, for Jesus, who lived and died for each and every one of us. We love you. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.